I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny. We can't call it Top Star.
Fuck.
No, so that's how BoJack ends every season. But I guess that's how we're going to start this episode, because since we've last been here for my birthday, Sebastian's been through some shit.
It's fucking story time, boys and girls.
So this feature that you were going on that we're all excited for you to be on, how's it going, Sebastian?
Dude, it had, I can honestly say, without a shadow of a doubt, this is quite possibly the worst set I've ever been on.
Oh, we need to make sure this motherfucker don't listen to this shit. Or if because we're freeballing and we don't care.
Let's send it to him. I'm not going to name names. I'm going to talk about it. If he ever listens to it and he figures out it's about him, I will give him all the credit in the fucking world. It's like, congratulations. You are able to do something, you know, anything of the sort. This guy. So I'm convinced, and most people on set, producer, production design, everyone is convinced, this fucking guy got money together and a cast, crew, a shit ton of equipment, so he could play director. Because there's no way in fucking hell that any self-respecting director would work the way this piece of shit does.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He is god-awful. He is god-awful.
All right, everyone, that's the episode. We'll see you next week.
I'll try to keep it brief.
I need anecdotes. I need annotations. I need a bibliography. I need 5 pages. Okay. I want the whole kit and caboodle. We've got a whole opening to fill, bruh. Fill your boots. There's only one other thing we need to talk about, and we can save that till.
That'll be our transition.
I am invested, my guy. I'm hunkered down. I'm fed. I'm ready for story time.
All right. So I started on this shoot as a PA. That's what I was doing.
Let me guess, you're no longer a PA.
So effectively, like the first day I got to set, I dropped my bag, I immediately went out on runs, and you know, it was fine. It's what I was there to do. And that happened first day, second day, third day, the producer comes up to me and she is just exhausted. She is done with them, so she asked me to help, and I started stepping in a little more. So I'm basically taking over as like a second AD.
Oh, God.
So,
yo, you need to ask for more money, bro.
And so she's doing all like the production stuff and call sheets and all that. I'm the one on set. I'm running the set. I'm trying to run the set.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's going okay. And I'm trying to get a sense of like how this guy works so I can figure out how I can get him to his pacing a little bit quicker. So that's the latter half of the second day. The third day, fourth day comes in. I'm fully invested now on ADing. And we're doing good. We're doing so good. We're doing good. I pushed us to the point where we not only started, we started half an hour late because the director was like 20 minutes late. But in spite of
how
that,
are you a director and you're late to your own shoot, bro?
Oh, bro, that's not the only late story I've got, but I'll get to that.
Oh, Jesus.
So he's late. I'm pushing us, and again, in spite of him being late, in spite of there's a little bit of a lollygag, we got everything we needed in a scene done in under an hour.
Nice.
I pushed us to the point where we were able to pick up shit from days before. Where I caught us up.
Yeah. Damn.
Tell me how I catch us up. We are an hour ahead. We get into the first dialogue driven scene. Mm-hmm. And this motherfucker has us a half hour behind now. Mm-hmm. Explain. Explain.
He's more focused on like directing dialogue than actually directing his vision.
And the way he directs dialogue, dude, he goes line by line by line. And with each line, he's given seven different directions, and in some cases he's giving contradictory direction. Like yes, last night, man. we had this kid, he's playing this like demonic kid, right?
Yeah.
And the idea is that it's a stunt where
I heard through, because like the producer you're talking about, that's a mutual friend.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard that there's also children and stunts on this set, and I'm just like, with an inexperienced director, this is just like sugar, spice, everything nice for a boiling pot of shit.
Dude, so he's talking to this kid, and the note he gives, and I was flabbergasted by this fucking note.
Flabbergasted. So
he's like, okay, I need you.
That's how done like, he is, people.
He's like, he's talking to this kid and he's telling him, I need you to be furious, but not angry.
What the basically me what now saying, what the fuck?
What does that, so you want him stoic? Because you just told him to give an emotion and then immediately told him not to do that emotion.
Yeah.
And that's how it's been, man. That's how it's been. And every day, he lags so much. Not yesterday, the day before, he was over 40 minutes late to the set. 40 minutes to the set.
My man needs to cut. I know everyone's got morning wood and everyone's got to do what they got to do, right? But you don't watch like the opening bit. You get to the good bit. You get to the good bit. You do what you need to do. You finish. So that, you know.
Oh, we found, I was told why he was late. He was late because he needed to go jogging before the set. He needed to clear his mind and get himself in his zone where he could come to his set and comfortably direct. 40 minutes, the crew, the cast, everyone is ready to go and we're waiting on this stupid motherfucker. He finally shows up, we start getting ready to go, he's lagging so much. And it gets to the point where he has the gall, the absolute fucking nerve, to go to the producer and blame special effects, blame makeup, blame wardrobe. They had everybody ready to go while his ass was out jogging to clear his head.
The people who jog are literally the motherfuckers that, like... Nah, man. Just go to the gym. Just go to the gym. Yeah. Sit on the treadmill. There's no reason to be outside. especially not in like in this in like this time of year. I know it's cool in LA, mm-hmm. but like I bet you've still got like it's still sunny, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and like, I dare this motherfucker to come over here and jog in the weather we got right now. Holy balls!
Like, I got no problem with jogging. I go on walks in the park for exercise and stuff. Don't do it when you're supposed to be on set. You are paying people to be here, and you're not here.
Yeah,
My biggest takeaway and the thing that pisses me off.
That's such a diva move. He clearly wanted people to know that, like, yeah. I've got to clear my head. Like, it's all getting too much. Like, mm-hmm. he's putting on a performance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Speaking, you fucking performance. You said that, and it was like, there was a moment where I was trying to get last looks.
Mm.
So, for those who don't know, last looks is when you have your makeup person come in, you make sure that everyone's camera ready just before we start shooting. You know, if there's a blemish or a hair out, they fix it and, you know, gets actors crisp for camera. So I'm trying to get our makeup person in there to get last looks. And he snaps at me. He's like, we need a minute. Like, you know, we need the time. Please just give us a minute. And I'm like,
no.
This motherfucker did not just snap at me like that, did he? Yeah. He's like, okay. So I am keeping my cool. I'm pissed, but I'm keeping my cool. He comes up to me. He apologizes for snapping at me. And he's like, you know, I get it. You know, you're cracking the whip. And I just wanted to, like, retaliate, you know, just to kind of keep up the theatrics and, you know, being a big director. I'm like, dude, this motherfucker said he did that to be theatrical? Are you fucking kidding? You pissed me off. The theatrics, you piece of shit.
The only time that's ever happened to me is when I was in fucking secondary school, my final year. We had these things called prefects, and it was basically like you're in the final year of school. You get more control. Like, it, you know, if something's going down, a teacher can look nearby. It's like, hey, I've got to go. You're a prefect. Can you just make sure these year sevens don't fucking move? That kind of shit. I'm in class. I'm in geography class. And, like, I, for some reason, head of our year is, like, doing the rounds. Because his class is, like, on the same floor. So he's just like, oh, let me just walk around, see what's happening. Like, I've got nothing to do. I've got a free hour. Let's just go between classes. For some reason, he comes into our class. And, like, I don't even know what I've done, man. This is the piece of bullshit. Like... Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I stand up and, like, I say something that's, like, just a little bit out of order. Like, I was a bit of a class clown. I really shouldn't have been a prefect. This motherfucker goes, Ed, outside, now. And, like, in front of everyone, he just goes, give me your prefect badge and your prefect tie. Right, that's it. You're not a prefect. And then he's like, come outside. It's like, Ed, you're still a prefect. I just needed to, like, let your class know, let some of the students know that, like, you know, that's what can go down. Like, you act up, you can lose it.
Yeah.
I knew someone that got expelled from this school for punching this guy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know why.
I get it.
You're a cunt. My fist literally, like, you could hear my knuckles crack. I was like,
Jesus.
I was like, bro, keep your damn tie, keep your damn badge. I don't fucking want it. Not when you're head of year, bro. Like, as soon as your ass gets removed, I'll think about coming back. You didn't get anything anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, I went back into class, like, with all my gear back on, my tie and my badge. I'm like, hang on, mm-hmm. I thought you just got removed. It's like, you said it was bullshit. Everyone in the class started laughing, and you for damn sure knew that he was nearby enough that he was listening to us in, like, in our class literally give him some shit. I was giving him some verbal behind his back for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
bro.
Man.
But, like, honestly, like, I hate people that do that, man. Mean what mm-hmm. you say what I you mean, hate it. Mean what you say.
Exactly. And I don't want to spend too much more time on talking about him. What I do want to do, though, is give so much props to the crew. They are an amazing crew.
Nice.
Effects, phenomenal. Makeup, phenomenal. Wardrobe, great. Grip, gear, sound, camera, great. All of them. I want to work with everyone again. Production design, nice. Producer, obviously. It's just, like I was kind of talking about, mentioning a little bit ago, what pisses me off the most about this set is that this is a guy who's basically paying to play director, and he has all these people to put a movie out, and he's doing what everyone on that set wishes they could do, and it doesn't seem like he gives a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to surround yourself with people who love this, who want nothing more to do this, and to be such a fucking jerk off, to kill the morale of everyone around you, screw everyone out, and make everyone feel less than so you can stroke your own fucking ego.
Is this his first, before we move on real quick, is this his first directing gig?
So he directed the trailer teaser, or the proof of concept.
Yeah.
That led to this. Aside from my knowledge, this is his first big thing. And I get that there's a pressure that comes with that, but also, it's your money. Why aren't you acting with more haste? Why aren't you being more definitive in your decisions? Why are you just playing director?
Mm.
I don't know. Again, props to all the crew. I love them all. I can't wait to work with them on something good. But yeah, no, fuck him. We still have one more week. So definitely using this day off to like
cool
decompress
down.
and try to get that stuff sorted. But I'm also like fully aware that it's going to be a shit show. And like he's talking about potentially adding another day, and there are already so many people on the set who are ready to walk, producer included. Everyone has already told the producer, if she walks, she basically takes the crew with her.
Damn!
Like, she's the reason most of us are there.
Yeah.
So, this motherfucker keeps pushing her. This motherfucker keeps irritating her. This motherfucker keeps treating her as less than. He's not getting a movie. Fuck him. I hope he falls into a well and dies.
Whoa. Even Lassie won't find this motherfucker. I know where he is, but I ain't going.
And he's like, guys, you guys, I'm sorry. I know what you need. I know what you're looking for, and I can't give it to you. I'm sorry, guys.
I can't do it.
It's just not working. It's just,
this
you know.
Motherfucker took my doggy biscuits. the kind of motherfucker that even Boston wouldn't maul. Like,
oh yeah, right. Let's switch it up. Let's talk about
some pretty cool Last of Us 2 news. We got I always thought this girl's name was Caitlin Denver. I apologize if I ever meet her. Like, it can be a little bit comedy, but it's Diva or Diva.
Oh,
D-E-V-E-R.
I've forever since, from the moment I saw her name, I thought it was Denver too.
Same.
I don't know why
same.
We're just adding.
And then I saw someone post it on like Facebook, and it's usually like I've seen these guys get names wrong before, and I was like, in this close, I'm like, there's no way they okayed this. Like, this is like, because it was like a day after, like she got cast as Abby, which is, if you don't know about Last of Us 2, one of the biggest roles that will be in the series. You're going to see a whole lot of her, and she's like, as an actress, she, like, since Booksmart, she's been killing it. So
yeah,
if she's bulking up, if she's out there right now with I know, like, the original voice actress Laura something or other, I can always forget this girl's name, she was like, yo, if you need someone to work out with, come see me. Abby is hench. I know Caitlin Dever might need to put on some muscles. But like, you know, if she doesn't, I don't give a shit. I'm excited to see what she does with this role. But yeah, huge casting. I just hope she's ready for Backlash.
Oh yeah,
because let's just say she's gonna. Oh man. You know, she's going to be killing in this role. She's going to be swinging in this role. Some of you motherfuckers are going to be coming back to this podcast and be like, Ed, you motherfucker.
You dirty
son of a bitch, you goddamn bastard. And we also got Jesse cast as well.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Not that I remember this motherfucker's name. I just know that he's the younger brother in Beef, and he's also the original mascot in Blue Mountain State. Hey, Blue Mountain State alumni out here getting fucking roles. We got Alan Richson as fucking Reacher, killing it.
His name is Young Mazzino.
Young Mazzino. I knew it was, like, I don't want to say something stupid, but come on, man. Who names their kid Young? Like,
I mean, who names
like a couple of years later, can we call him Old Mazzino?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this how that works? Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, there was Caitlin won something the other day, Critics' Choice Award for best actress in a TV limited series, I believe.
Oh, cool!
Can you double check that?
Yeah. Let me.
I don't have.
I got it.
For me to survive these recordings, I have to turn internet off everything. She definitely won best actress in a limited series TV movie. No one will save you or some shit.
God damn it. Where are... Okay, awards. There we go.
I'm this close to fucking turning on Wi-Fi, bro. I will turn this car around.
Okay, so she was a nominee Critics' Choice for No One Will Save You, Best Actress. She was also nominated in 2022 for Best Supporting Actress in Dope Sick. And 2020 for Best Actress in Unbelievable.
Crap. I loved Dope Sick.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not like, I know it's about OxyContin, so, you know, it's like, how much did you love Dope Sick, Ed? Like, her performance in Dope Sick was good, because she played you know, it was like a character made for the series. I know a few characters were based on reality, but she was one of the original creations in a sort of, this person doesn't exist in real life, but actually probably did. That's how badly OxyContin just destroyed Middle America.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't like coming onto the podcast and be like, hey, everyone, you've got to go watch this. But you need something to watch. You're looking for a series, good performances, good story, grounded with reality. But then also, a lot of, sort of fiction you can sort of, believe in. Dope Sick on Disney Plus over here. I think Hulu for the US.
Yeah,
really good.
Yeah, no, but I think Last of Us Season 2 is shaping up to be pretty good. It's looking pretty nice. They also cast Isabella Merced as Dina.
Yeah, the bloody fucking... Oh no! It's gonna Dora, Dora the fucking Explorer.
Fucking Dora the Explorer.
Fucking
yeah,
Dora.
That's crazy.
Hola.
She's also playing Hawkgirl in James Gunn's DCU. She's gonna be Hawkgirl.
She's Hawkgirl? I didn't.
Yeah.
Is this bloody Superman movie just all heroes?
I think the idea for what Gunn is trying to do is he's not trying to introduce heroes. He's trying to establish that these heroes already exist in this universe.
Oh, so she'll be on newsreels, on TVs, not necessarily in the story,
probably,
so to speak.
But the idea is basically Superman's intro into this already established universe of heroes. So...
I am nervous at how big this cast is getting for Superman, though.
I agree. Speaking of casts, though,
Yeah.
I think this is a great transition because we are talking about some of our favorite casted cameos.
Indeed.
In television.
I remember, even though it's been on my computer in front of me, I'm trying to act all like, no way! Oh, no, we're talking about what? That's so cool! I've got my guys ready here, ready to go, bro. Like,
all right, so when we come back from the break, we're talking TV cameos, everyone. Don't go anywhere. Stick around.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Oh, Vic, they're coming back. Smashing everyone left. You told them not to.
They're fucking gone.
They all left like all the Cowboys fans last night after the Packers spanked them hard. Wow. How about them Cowboys? Jog on. Jerry Jones, halfway through the fucking game, turned around away from the game. And I swear to God, he's like, he get that fat motherfucker Mike McCarthy out of my game and someone get me Bill Belichick. God damn. Probably a little bit more racist to Dak Prescott as well, but, you know.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Fucking how about them Cowboys? Fuck off. Fucking Dak Prescott every snap. Here we go. Shut up. Shite.
Right.
That's what they get for that's what they get for me going over to Dallas and all of my Dallas friends giving me shit. You come all this way, Seahawks lose. You came all that way in the season to get knocked out the first round by the seventh seed for the first time ever in the NFL. Cool beans, bro. I'll take my better draft pick.
Jesus.
And I'll take your defensive coordinator at the same time as well, motherfucker.
Welcome to the big show.
Welcome to the show.
It's time to play the game.
Sorry, had to do it because I watched the whole game yesterday and I was laughing all the way, bro. So we're talking about TV cameos.
TV cameos can make us laugh.
Hey,
TV cameos can make you laugh.
The Cowboys can make you laugh because how bad they are. And we're also the stipulation for this episode is because we found out that this would be a good idea for a little bit of a series or recurring kind of episode. So today we're going to be focusing on TV comedies.
Yep.
And then that means later down the line, we're not necessarily meaning next week because we actually have some pretty exciting things for freeballing. Stay tuned, everyone. Yep.
I'm super excited.
You know how by Iron Man 3, out of nowhere, we had the Iron Man Mark 34, and we're like, holy shit, what happened to all the other ones? That's literally what's happening with Freeborn right now. Out of nowhere, we're about to get the whole nano suit, zip tie suit up kind of shit. That's what's happening. That's what's happening to freeballing in a couple of weeks'
time. That's what's happening to freeballing.
Stay
guys.
Tuned, fans.
We on that upgrade train.
Stay tuned, sports fans, because we're getting Super Bowls. Not like the Cowboys. But later down the line, we can do cameos in dramas, cameos in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. It's exciting, but I'm excited. I want to know what you've got. I think we're gonna share one, so I have some backups. I think we're definitely gonna share one. I hope we don't share more than one.
Okay.
Because I don't have that many backups.
yeah, no. I've got a few ones.
I'm gonna let you go first. You need it.
All right. So I was kind of like, I didn't know where to start in terms of the cameos because, you know, like, I also was like, am I going for like the assassin cameo where the person comes in like with a joke or a line and they just kill it?
Yeah.
Or the cameo that's a little more story driven and like, you know, kind of a thread throughout. So I kind of it's how I've like categorized cameos. So
yeah,
the cameo that's more of like a long thread throughout the episode. Like he comes in. It's the guest star, effectively.
Yeah,
as opposed to like just a regular.
All of my cameos are like our guest stars, not like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like just blink or you'll miss them kind of thing.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Like I've not done the blink and you miss them kind of cameos.
Oh no! Yeah. No. But yeah. No. But that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, fair. So I'm starting off with Matt Damon in Entourage.
I was going to choose this one. This one was high on my list until I saw or remembered someone else. And I was like, I know, like, I can't choose Entourage. Entourage is your boy. So.
You watch Entourage, it is cameo heavy. Every episode, there's a cameo of someone. Somewhere
end of season one rather, is Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but for me, what's the best about Matt Damon's is like, you know, he's playing like a hyper fictionalized version of himself, super passionate, very much like he's a philanthropist, but he's the kind of philanthropist who, if you don't give him the money right away, he becomes a piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. He's trying to get like donations for a charity, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
He's like, Leonardo, Leonardo donated like XYZ amount, like.
Yep. And it's like, dude, don't do that. He embodies the guy who's like, oh, is that all you're gonna get?
Yeah.
But you're gonna go get yourself that expensive cup of coffee, but that's all you can get? No, okay, no, it's fine. It's all right. Like, they did a whole episode on South Park about people like this. And like they had this thing where like, oh, you know, you want to give your change to the kids, feed the homeless. It's like, oh, not today. Oh, okay. Just go ahead and press on the little kid's belly until you don't want to give it any money today. And like being shamed into giving is exactly what Matt Damon knocks out of the park in this. And he's so fucking funny because he's not trying. He's so serious.
Yeah.
He's so stern. And that's what makes it even funnier. Yeah, no, Matt Damon and Entourage, fucking hilarious. I would say like just a quick close second in terms of an Entourage cameo would be Zac Efron because it's so out of nowhere and it's so fucking funny.
My Entourage cameo would be the famous producer that goes, is this something that you might be interested in? Like
Martin Landau.
Martin Landau, he's in the taxi. He's like, is this something you might be interested in? And like. For a while, like so many of my tutors, when I told them I was watching Entourage, one of my guys was like, you know that Martin Landau scene? Like, he's actually like that in real life. I've met him. And like, if he likes you enough, he will be, he's like, I got this idea. And you'll go through it. It's like, is this something you might be interested in?
Hey, I got these two giant fucking testicles in my pants. Is this something you might be interested in?
Oh man! Oh, and then James Cameron is also good.
Oh, James Cameron! Love James Cameron.
Flying into fucking Cannes in the helicopter.
Oh, and then when he's in that theater getting popcorn.
Yeah,
the guy who's supposed to be like the Harvey Weinstein esque character, Entourage, losing his shit, is like, fucking Harvey,
dude. They they wanted Harvey until they were like, nah, we're doing a caricature of this motherfucker.
Yep.
Yeah. Right, so you didn't go for this first, so I'm going to go for it. So bun you if it's your second or third. I've got Ryan Reynolds in Scrubs.
Oh. Dude. He's so good, though.
I stole. You better have some backups, motherfucker.
Yeah, no, I got some stuff, but like, holy
season
shit.
Two, episode 22. Not only do I love this one because I think I'm just a fan of Ryan Reynolds throughout all of his entire career. I love Waiting. I love Van Wilder. We got early Ryan Reynolds right here. My dad's rewatching all the fucking X-Files, and he's like season four, mid 90s. Who's the guy who dies at the beginning of the episode? One of the episodes he's watching, Ryan fucking Reynolds.
Fucking Reynolds.
He was the opening kill in a X-Files episode in like the early seasons. But it's like as good as Scrubs was, you knew they were hitting a wall. Like none of them are going to reveal that Dr. Cox is the father of Jordan's baby. So it has to be an old friend comes in, gets like JD and Tuck fucked up, and is like, oh, you were saying that, you know, he was actually the father, and you also said something else that he didn't know yet. And then everything changes. Like, it actually changes the whole dynamic, like, not just the episode, but like the start of season three. You're still feeling this. And that's what happens. Mm-hmm. People will just come back into your life and, you know, is like, why don't I speak to you? Oh, that's fucking why. Like, you know, you're trying to get older. You don't want to really want to drink anymore. Like, and then in comes like, you know, if you can't see the Ryan Reynolds in your group of friends from the Scrubs episode, you are the Ryan Reynolds in your group of friends. Yep. So that's me. I'm still getting everyone fucked up, bro.
Oh, still getting everyone fucked up.
We went out on Saturday to celebrate my 30th. The day before, one of my best friends flew to Australia. Mm-hmm. But there was like one of my other best friends was also there with me. He was working the next day. We got fucked up, bro. we had drinks. We went to the casino. Your boy won the jackpot. We had steak, and then as we were coming home, I was like, "Yo, you want to go for a few more drinks?" Yeah. I live like 2 minutes away from a pub. It's still open. It's Saturday. It's open for a while.
It's open for a while.
I have a taste for these rum and cokes now. Like, I was like, yeah, you know, take it easy, mate. You're working tomorrow. I say as I'm getting the next round. But yeah, it's like, it was great casting, hilarious episode, way to finish an episode as well. Like, in terms of an episode that has more gravitas now than it did when it came out, even though Ryan Reynolds was a good casting because famous for Waiting and Van Wilder when Scrubs came out as like sort of, he was the man in comedy. He was up and coming. He was like, he was young. He was on the rise. And I think Scrubs got in there early. They like, who's the guy who created Scrubs? Bill Lawrence. Bill Lawrence. He saw Ryan Reynolds before anyone else saw Ryan Reynolds. And I was like, look, you know, when people go to watch this, like I am, rewatching Scrubs. This is why I put Ryan Reynolds in, because I'm rewatching Scrubs. And I saw this episode recently. Yep. And as soon as we decided to do this episode, this was the first one I put on. Just because, like, you know, not just the actor, but the episode and what it does for the series. And like, that's like the power of the cameo.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So that was my first. Had to get in there. Had to steal it from you, bro. You know I had to do it to him.
Yeah. No worries. All right. You know what's funny? You stole that one. And I was like, my next one, like, I was trying to figure out, because they both involved the same actor, but I was trying to figure out which one was better than for me.
Okay.
And I was like, I figured which one, what it is. And I was like, there's no way in hell he's going to have this moment. And I started thinking about it. It's like, nah, there's no way in hell. So it's Jim Carrey cameo.
Yeah.
And, he, you know, the guy doesn't do a whole lot of TV. And it is not in any way, shape, or form a recent cameo. This is from, like, mid to late 90s. This is his cameo.
It's not even the Office cameo.
No, that's the one that I was like back and forth with, but he's so much funnier in this one.
Okay.
He showed up in the last episode of the Larry Sanders Show.
Okay.
So, you know, the whole episode, the series finale is kind of like this guy's leaving his late night talk show, and, you know, he's trying to put on the best show, and he finally gets Jim Carrey on his show.
Yeah.
And Jim's like, cameras are rolling, and Jim's like doing his shtick, and he's overacting, and he's trying to get the crowd involved, and everyone loves him. Everyone's laughing. He's like, yes, fantastic. Love it, Jim Carrey. Camera cuts, right? And Sanders is like, you know, thanks, you know, thanks for being here. Really appreciate you coming out for us and, you know, the last show and everything. And Jim's like, you know, okay, how about let's cut the crap. You never wanted me on the show. The only reason you want me now is because Ace Ventura is killing it. The Mask is killing it. Dumb and Dumber is killing it. What are you going to do now? Huh? Movies? I'll crush you. And I'm like, so good. Oh, so funny. I loved every second of it, dude. And I'm like, that versus the Finger Lakes? Nah. That because you,
you can get lost in the Finger Lakes.
Yeah, no, my family's up in the Finger Lakes right now. I'm supposed to be in the Finger Lakes, but I left, and, you know, but I got to go back because, you know, people get lost in the Finger Lakes.
People get lost in the Finger Lakes. Oh, man, I need to see this. I need to see this Larry Sanders clip.
Dude, you need, you would love, I have no doubt you would love it. Like the whole show, as I just finished watching it again.
Like, I found a new love. I found a new love for Jim Carrey when I watched, when I finally watched, is it, not the movie, but the documentary making of the movie, Man on the Moon?
Oh, Man on the Moon.
Yeah. I was like, yo, this motherfucker, like, he got lost and struggled to come back.
Oh, yeah. He said that fucking Andy Kaufman just took over.
Yeah.
He wasn't Jim Carrey anymore.
Yeah, crazy. Good documentary. I need to see that documentary again, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good.
So yeah, I'm down to do some research. Yeah, man. Good pick. Like,
I will say, just pitching the Larry Sanders Show, it's such a crazy, like, time capsule of 90s pop culture.
Damn.
You'll recognize everyone's David Spade, David Duchovny, Janine Garofalo's on it. You have so many big names. Like, these are people coming in as like guests on this guy's show, and it's so funny, dude.
I'm annoyed so now because you know both of mine, like my two, I'm gonna come up with, you know, both of them. Like, I'm not throwing any curveballs.
Fucking Bob Odenkirk is in the show, dude. Plays an agent in the show.
Bob Odenkirk, so like in the mid-90s, like, he was so funny. He was writing SNL.
Yeah, man. Yep.
Yeah, what a legend. Yep. Love this guy. Right, my second one. Bro. I'm just going to, like, they're sort of almost kind of like the same kind of character, different series, okay, different actor. But right, my first one, I've got Jack Black as Dewey in Community.
Oh, my God, yes.
The first episode when they came back after the break in season one.
Yeah. He's getting pulled out of the fucking...
And then they offer him a space, and then, like, there's, like, an actual cooler group that we never see. That is like, that's always been as like, you guys want me? And then he runs with like his little backpack and shit. And like the fact that he runs, like, he actually has that backpack in real life, and he's walking with his son, and it looks like his son's taking Jack Black to school, just the way they're walking. It was like, I love Jack Black. This motherfucker loves video games. His TikToks kept me alive through COVID. Like, honest, like, he was the only one that actually, like, sort of embodied the other actor in Jumanji rather than the other actors becoming Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson. Like, mm-hmm. Jack Black, like, you know, he killed it. He kills it and everything. But the fact that he was in Community, like, mm-hmm. like, through the mid 2000s, this motherfucker, like, that must have been expensive. Like, there was even an article like why Jack Black did it. I should have clicked that so I could have, like, given myself some knowledge. But I just like to think that, you know, he was invited, he was paid, liked the script, and he just gave it his all, like he usually does. We got, like, the most Jack Black performance that Jack Black could ever give. And it's, it was funny, just, like, you know, you said it's like, no, no. He's just so over the top. And like, like it's a testament to how good early Community was. Mm-hmm. Like, you could just tell that everyone was having fun. The series was fun. The writing was phenomenal. The comedy was almost every episode. And it's just one of those series, like, I feel like I put this on as a testament to, you know, not enough. I feel like Community was huge. We can't deny that.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's not had the best longevity. One, because of the way it ended. Mm. Two, actors involved. Three, Dan Harmon went through some difficult years that, you know, affected his ability to write and produce Community. He even left for a season, then came back. But, like, the magic was gone. He was already focused on Rick and Morty. And Community is just one of those, like, the early seasons, like, my friend watches, like, rewatches it. Like, almost every, like, once a year, he'll tell me, it's like, oh, I'm on my Community rewatch. And, like, I was like, bro, like, why? And he just goes, there's just an air, like, even though it's so nonsensical at times, the relationship between them is so real that you can't, like, you feel like you're almost there. You feel like you are part of this group. The way they film, like the long table scenes, like, you know, it's just, oh, so good. So good. Yeah, if you haven't seen Community, go see Community. And you're like, almost, like, even in the first season, they were getting huge cameos. Name me another show that has huge cameos in its first season.
I got nothing for
real.
All right. Final picks time?
Final picks time.
All right. My final pick, I'm picking purely because of the reaction this person's cameo gets. It's so perfect. It's so great. Every time I watch it, I cannot watch this moment and not laugh. And that is Prince in New Girl.
So the way you set this up was the way I was going to set mine up. I have not chosen.
Oh, really?
I didn't choose Prince, but I thought it was like, there's no way this motherfucker's done what I think. There just ain't no way.
Like, what I love about it too is that it does what a lot of TV shows do, where they're like, all these characters are going to this big celebrities party, and then they might, you know, tease the celebrity and this and that. It's like, oh, where is he? He's not really around. But Prince was there.
Prince is there.
He was there. And, like, this motherfucker doesn't do this. He doesn't do this. He only did it because he likes New Girl.
He asked to be on the show.
He's there. And so, and, like, he's there. And he's like, oh, I apologize. I didn't give you enough time to freak out. And seeing them lose their collective shit is so fucking funny. And it's just like, yeah. I completely buy that. Anyone just casually meeting Prince.
Doesn't he give Jess, like, some, like, true advice? Words of, like, relationship advice for her to, like, actually think about start dating Nick and shit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I loved about the Prince cameo. More so than the J.J. Watt cameo. If I picked a New Girl cameo, I'd pick J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. But yeah, no, that's a great cameo. That's a great episode. Like, just his entrance. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't give you enough time to freak out. And he's so chill. Oh, bro. Nah, that's a good one. Anything more to say about Prince in Shnugo?
What is there to say?
Right. So. All
right, bro.
I chose this one because of the reaction this motherfucker gets. Not from everyone, but from me and you and my other friends who watched this TV series. If I said How I Met Your Mother, do you know where I'm going?
There's so many cameos in How I Met Your Mother.
Reel off a top two. I want to see if you get it.
Not Katy Perry.
No,
Katy Perry is definitely a good one, though.
Katy Perry was a good one.
Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston's multiple episodes. One of the other stipulations we had, by the way, that it had to be one episode. Bryan Cranston was my first pick, but then he has multiple episodes.
All right.
This guy has one episode. It's a good one.
Fuck me, man. I am blanking. I got no idea.
Jorge Garcia. Blitz.
Oh, gentlemen.
Why are you guys doing that? Oh, Blitz.
You had to be there.
Like, honestly, every time I came home from LA, I had, like, just me being in LA had blitzed me for so many events. I miss my mate who's in Australia right now. I miss his engagement party. Yeah. For a good time, like, in 20... You know, when we, like, everyone had to Zoom to, like, we all had... Like, everyone was drinking and we're on Zoom and, like, you were there for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, it was me and it was the same group of people. Every time we did this... They'd start talking about the engagement party, and I was like, I'm laughing just because, like, the stories that were being told were so detailed. Like, I couldn't not laugh because I knew who was involved. I know what they're like. People were going into, like, the wrong tents and shit. There was a bouncy castle that, like, they were doing shots and then jumping off the bouncy castle and shit. It sounded so sick, and all I will ever hear is other people's recollections and stories and memories of this shit. And I'm like, mm-hmm. God damn it. I loved LA. I'll never regret LA, but I definitely missed out on some shit that just, like, when I came home, I was definitely the walking blitz for a very long time. You have so much more love for this episode when you have, like, everyone has that real life sort of connection to being the blitz every so often. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah. Like, I was out, you know, me and so-and-so were out the other day, and we met this girl with, like, massive knockers, man. You have to be there. Blitz. Like, because, like, we're at an age. Jesus. We're at an age where, like, if we're not making new memories, we're in the pub talking about old memories.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be, like, one or two that you weren't there for. And it's, oh, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, this episode, like... This was fine as hell writing. Especially as how many members was, like, sort of... Like, season 6 was a struggle. I remember season 6. I remember, like, that was when they had that whole season of, like, Ted wanting to tear down the building, but it had, like, some mm-hmm. historical artifact, and his girlfriend was actually part of the protests against the building being knocked down. The captain as well, like, now get this shit out of here, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really, really, like, boring as hell. But then they gave us this episode. Hurley from fucking Lost. Just make, like, he makes any show. Anytime I see this motherfucker, I'm like, we're in for a good episode. I love me some Jorge Garcia. Like, honest, like, there was a moment in Lost where it's like, man, we've been trapped on this island for 5 years. How are you still this big? Like, they just shat all over this guy's existence. It's like, man, how are you still this big? How are you this big eating nothing?
Jesus.
Bro, you're getting fat off air. Like, yeah. Oh, man. Oh.
Fucking A, dude.
That was nice. That was a nice, simple episode. We needed the... You needed it. We need to keep, you know, it's nice to sort of keep need to keep the momentum going. So I hope you guys don't mind that we've done a bit more of a sort of streamlined episode.
A little bit of a shorter one.
But trust us. You hear that fucking train? Because it's coming right at you. That's the train of hype!
Dude, I am so genuinely excited for what we have lined up. Like, mm-hmm. I know this is going to take us to a new level, and I'm so ready for it.
We're literally
so fucking ready for it.
Redeveloping how you see freeballing online, and just some of the things that's going to put us out there, you know, we're proud, we're excited, you know, we're happy to be a part of like such a like such an amazing thing that's happening. We can't wait for you guys, you know, and you know, mm-hmm. let's just say you may even see our beautiful mugs on an episode. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. All is being said.
YouTube is calling. Oh my god.
Yep.
All right, you beautiful motherfuckers.
All right, everyone.
Yeah, we'll.
Remember to rate
that.
To like.
It was coming.
To subscribe. Share us.
I'm so excited that I can't think, bro. Like,
no. I got you. That's why we co-host.
My brain full on just fart, literally. Just...
All right, everyone. We will catch you on the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip. Bye.
Come join us on this trip. Now all I do is throwing out the script.
Come on, man. Come join us on the trip.
I'm sorry.
Now we're throwing out the script.
I hope we don't charge a penny. I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.